have read in the Bible that God told us sinners that he let his son die in their place, paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guyon. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guyon, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Again today, we're only going to be reading one verse of Scripture. That being Psalm 119, with verse number 16. Here, the Word of God says this, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Lord, as we bow our head once again in thy presence, I pray that you'll speak to me and speak through me this day. Get glory to thyself, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to bring the third part of the message entitled, David's Delight. Here in Psalm chapter 119 and in verse number 16, the Word of God makes it very clear that David's delight was in the Word of God. David loved the Word of God. Not only David, but we find that Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse number 16, he tells us that the Word of God was the joy and the rejoicing of his heart. My friend, we find that David loved the Word of God. Now here in Psalm chapter 119, in the weeks prior to this, we have been directing the attention of our listeners to some verses that deal with David's love of the Word of God. And we have found that in verses 147 and 148 of this chapter, that David loved the Word of God more than he did sleep. More than he did sleep. David lost sleep. He gave up sleep so he could get along with God and His Word. And I would like to ask every listener today at this time, my friend, do you love the Word of God more than you love sleep? When is the last time that you gave up sleep? When is the last time that you lost some sleep so you could get along with God and His Word? My friend, the psalmist here, he preferred study to slumber. He preferred the Scriptures to sleep. David loved the Word of God more than he did sleep. Not only that, but on the broadcast last week, I dealt with the fact that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. This is found in verse 103 of this same chapter. Here in verse 103, the Word of God says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." My friend David loved the Word of God more than he did food. Most certainly he did. Here we find in verse 103 that honey itself is outstripped in sweetness. My friend, listen. The sweetness of all temporal things and material things of this world fall far short of God's sweetness and honey. Most certainly that's so. So we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. We also dealt last week on the broadcast with a man by the name of Job. In Job chapter 23 and verse number 12, we find that Job realized the fact that the Word of God that sustained him spiritually was of more value than breakfast, dinner, and supper. You can read about it there in Job chapter 23 and verse number 12. So we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did food. But today, at this time on the broadcast, I want to deal with a third thing. David loved the Word of God more than he did companions. More than he did companions. This is found in verse number 63. Here in Psalm 119, and verse number 63, the Word of God says this, "I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy statutes." My friend, here we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did companions. Now the word companion here speaks of those we company with, those that we are constantly in the presence of, those we are close to. That's what the word companion speaks of here. Verse number 63. Here in this verse we find that the Lord is going to tell us through the psalmist who that we as the children of God should company with, and in turn who that we should not company with. My friend, the psalmist was known by the company he kept. He was known by his choice companion. Oh yes, my friend, birds of a feather flock together. Certainly this is so. You take that partridge egg, my friend, you can put it under the hen and it will hatch. And that partridge will walk around with the chicks for just a little while. But when the wings develop, it will fly off to its own company. Its own company. This reminds me of what we read about in Acts chapter 4. We find Peter and John preaching the Word of God. We find that the religious rulers didn't like it. They were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They threw them in jail. They stayed overnight. They were brought before the rulers the next day. And we find that the rulers charged them not to teach or speak or preach in the name of Jesus anymore. So we find, my friend, in verse number 23, that when they left, when Peter and John left, the Word of God tells us that they went to their own company. Their own company. My friend, you are known by the company you keep. I am known by the company that I keep. It's important as a child of God who you company with, who you are constantly in the presence of. Oh yes, that's very important. I do not believe that you as a child of God can hobnob around with the tar babies of the devil and have the power of God on you. You cannot flirt with Moab and fellowship with the Master at the same time. It's important. It's important. Here in Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 63, the Word of God says, "I am companion of all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts." He mentions two things here. Number one, of them that fear thee. Number two, of them that keep thy precepts. keep thy precepts. Now, let's look at the first one. I am a companion of all them that fear thee. My friend, this speaks of godly fear. This speaks of godly fear. And my friend, in the life of the child of God, there needs to be a good, healthy dose of godly fear. Oh, yes. Most certainly that is so. Then, the second thing that the psalmist speaks of here is of them that keep thy precepts. And this has reference to obedience to the Scripture. Obedience to the Word of God. Now, my friend, what the psalmist is really talking about here, when we put these two things together, is this. He's talking about a godly fear. And my friend, this is something that's found on the inside. He's talking about an inward godly fear that expresses itself in an outward obedience to the Scriptures. Oh, yes. That's what we find here in verse number 63. He's talking about an inward godly fear that expresses itself in an outward obedience to the Word of God. That's the ones that the psalmist accompanied with. Oh, yes. My friend, listen. As a child of God, you should be careful who you accompany with, who you are constantly in the presence of. If they are not marked by these two things, by an inward godly fear that produces an outward obedience to the Scriptures, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. I realize today that talk is cheap. A lot of people have the talk, but they don't have the walk. And there's a lot of people today that will say, oh yes, preacher, I love Jesus. I love the Lord. They'll say, oh yes, I love the Lord. But listen, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 14, verses 21, 23, and 24. He tells us there that if a man loves Him, that individual will keep his saying. Oh yes, my friend, if a man or a woman truly loves the Lord Jesus Christ, they will be obedient to the Word of God. They will keep the sayings of Christ. Oh yes, most certainly that is so. So we find, my friend, that the psalmist was known by his choice companions, and if they were not marked by these two things, he didn't keep company with them. He didn't keep company with them. My friend, this is very important. He said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Now, I hear some listener today saying, well, preacher, I have to work where I work. I have to rub shoulders with those that's lost. Yes, I know that. I know that. The Apostle Paul knew that. That's what he talks about over in the New Testament Scripture. My friend, that can't be helped. That can't be helped. I know that we have to do certain things in this world. We have to go to the workplace and so on and rub shoulders with those that's lost. But my friend, that's not what the psalmist is talking about here. This word companion speaks of those we company with, those we are constantly in the presence of, those we are close to. Oh, yes. I can hear some young person today saying, preacher, if I do what the Word of God tells me to do, I won't have any friends. Listen to me, young person. Listen carefully. It's better to have just a few godly Christian friends, just a few, than to have a multitude of companions that has no regard for God. Most certainly that's so. My friend, if you listen to the Word of God and are obedient to the Word of God, certainly you won't be the most popular individual. That's not what God's looking for anyway. Well, certainly this is so. I'm reminded, and I'm thinking at this time, how many times has a young person, a teenager, got out here on the highway or some other place, and they've been killed. They've been killed. They've been tore up. They've been slaughtered in a wreck on the highway, maybe, or some other way. And the preacher will go talk to the parents, the dead mom. And you know many times what they'll say? You know the first thing they'll say? They'll say, "Preacher, it all started when they started running with the wrong crowd." Listen, my friend, it's important who you keep company with. Most certainly it is. That's why the Word of God tells us over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 33 that evil communications corrupt good manners. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful concerning this matter. So we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did companions. Fourth, we find that David loved the Word of God more than he did money. Here in Psalm chapter 119 and in verse number 72, we find this proof. But I want you to notice something here. Here in verses 65 and following, 65 through 72, we find these verses flavored with goodness. Here in verse number 65, we find that God's dealings is good. Here in verse 66, we find that holy judgment is good. Here in verse 67, we find that affliction is good. Here in verse 68, we find that God is good. And then here in verse 72, we find that the Word of God is not only good, but it's better. It's better. It's better than the best of pleasure. Look here in verse number 72. The Word of God says, "The law of thy mouth, is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." Oh yes, my friend, the psalmist keeps it up here. He does not talk about hundreds, but he talks about thousands. And he talks about various varieties. For he talks about gold and silver. My friend, the Word of God is better than the best thing that this world has to offer. Most certainly, that's what David is speaking of here. David loved the Word of God more. He did money. In what world are you investing? The world of business or the Bible? The world of business or the Bible? My friend David loved the Word of God more than he did money. In Psalm chapter 119 and in verse number 127, the Word of God says this: "Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold." Now listen. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist speaks about gold, he speaks about fine gold, and he speaks about much fine gold. And he tells us, my friend, that the Word of God is better and above all that. Oh, yes. My friend, the psalmist's first love was God, not gold. What's your first love? Is it God or is it gold? Do you, listener, love the Word of God more than you love gold and silver? Do you love it more than you love money? David loved the Word of God more than he loved gold. He loved the Word of God more than he did silver. He loved the Word of God more than he did money. My friend David was after the wealth of the Word, not the wealth of the world. Oh, yes. Here in verse number 127, this word gold reminds me of a miser. It reminds me of a miser. And my friend, I want to, at this time, give a few parallels and similarities between a miser and a Christian. Number one, the miser, my friend, his heart and treasure is his gold. Is his gold. Well, my friend, the Christian has his treasure also. And his treasure is better than the gold of this world, for it's the eternal Word of God. Oh, yes. Number two, the miser delights in his treasure. He delights in it. My friend, he loves to count it. He loves to run his fingers through the gold and silver and hear the clanking of the coins. He lusts to count it. He lusts to let his eyes feast on it. My friend, the same thing is true of the child of God and his treasure. My friend, the child of God lusts to let his eyes feast on the Word of God. Let his eyes run over the chapters and verses and count the chapters and the verses and feel his treasure with his hands as he turns the pages of the Word of God. Oh, yes. This is true of the child of God. Thirdly, we find that the miser keeps his treasure with watchfulness. And this reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And the word kept there is the word to guard. And the word faith there has to do with the revealed body of truth. Or in other words, the Word of God. My friend, we find that the child of God, we find that Paul is talking about there, keeping it guarded. The Word of God. Keeping it with watchfulness. Oh, yes. Not only that, but fourthly, we find that the miser hides. The miser hides his treasure. Some years ago, I read a story about a miser who kept his gold and silver in a secret sub-basement under his basement. This place was known only to him. Daily, he'd go down and worship. He'd run his fingers through the gold and the silver and listen to the music of their clanking. And he'd say, oh, my beauties, oh, my beauties. One day, while he sat worshiping the God of gold, a breeze blew the door of the sub-basement closed. Spring lock that could be turned only from the outside, facing the door. My friend, the miser was shut in with his gold and his God. Oh, yes. Years later, some men came to tear that house down, and they found that miser's bones and skeleton stretched over the pile of gold and silver. Miser had made money his God. God had finally destroyed him. My friend, the thing I want to point out right here is this. He hid his treasure. Well, the same thing is true of the child of God. In Psalm chapter 119 and verse number 11, the Word of God says this. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid. My friend, the child of God also hides their treasure. That's what the psalmist is talking about right here in verse number 11. He says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. Listen. If someone has gold and silver and jewels and diamonds and precious stones, they do not leave those things out on the table in the open. They do not leave those things out in the open on the table for everyone's taking. Oh, no. You know what they do with those things? Because those things are precious, because those things are valuable, they put them in an inner cabinet, an inner chamber. They put them in a secret place. They hide those things so just everyone walking by cannot pick them up and carry them off. They hide those things. And my friend, listen, the same thing is true for the child of God. The Word of God is valuable. It's precious. It's a treasure. Therefore, the child of God hides that treasure in an inner chamber, that being the heart. The inner chamber of the heart. Oh, yes, that's what the psalmist is speaking of here. In Psalm 119 and verse number 11. My friend, we as children of God are to hide the Word of God in our heart. Oh, yes. Here in verse 11 he says, thy word have I hid in mine heart. In mine heart. That I might not sin against thee. My friend, here in verse number 11, we have the best thing. We find this in the words, thy word. Here we have the best place. We find this in the words, in mine heart. Then we have the best purpose, that I might not sin against thee. Here we have the best thing in the best place for the best purpose. The best thing in the best place for the best purpose. The Word of God hidden in the heart, that we might not sin against God. Christian, are you hiding the Word of God in your heart? That's as far as we're going with this message entitled, David's Delight. My friend, during this message, we have found that David loved the Word of God more than he did sleep. He loved the Word of God more than he did food. He loved the Word of God more than he did companions. And he loved the Word of God more than he did money. As you listen to this broadcast today, I want to ask you a question. Do you love the Word of God? Do you have a taste for the Word of God? Many folks today do not have a taste for the Word of God. They do not love the Word of God because they have never been born again. Then if I'm speaking to you today and you know that you have been saved by the grace of God, my friend, I want to ask you a question. How much do you love the Word of God? How much do you love the Word of God? Do you love it more than sleep? More than food? More than companions? More than money? Think about it. In closing today, I want to say this. If you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you're lost and on your way to hell. You need to be saved. Right now, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart. Exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon the Lord and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you know it. Then if you're listening to the broadcast today and you've been saved by the grace of God, my friend, you've been neglecting prayer and the study of the Word of God. You don't love the Word of God as you ought to. I ask you right now to bow your head and confess that to the Lord and allow Him to forgive you and cleanse you. Be restored to fellowship so that you can be all that you can be for the glory of God. Good night.